when he's your highest owned player, you want to just have him get to the top and party.
Hit a good club.
Welcome, PGA DFS golf fans. There it is.
What is happening, everybody? We had to let Eric go ahead and give his best Jason impersonation here early on in the day, as it is the Zozo Championship week. If you guys are joining us here in chat, of course, we appreciate it. And of course, want to thank our sponsor, Prize Picks. And listen, we know it's a golf show, but we're a little early on in the week, so we got to get Prize Picks a little time to get up to putting their golf contests out. The field is changing. We just had Paul Casey withdraw like an hour ago, so we'll talk about that. So what we're going to talk about to teach you guys about Prize Picks is the football game for a minute tonight. Here's how easy it is to play over on Prize Picks. You're going to pick from a couple of different things tonight. One of them is 82.5 receiving yards for Stephon Diggs. You're going to pick 2 to 5 of those type of props, and you're going to put them in your lineup, and you can get anywhere from 5 to 1 to 10 to 1 on your payout. And all you got to do is pick on Stephon is over or under. It's that simple. So Eric, tonight, here's the 5-1 that I'm going to pick. Josh Allen's going to go over 294 passing yards. Ryan Tannehill over 237, too much offense this year. And then I got Diggs and AJ Brown both getting over their receiving yards. I'm going to put in $20 for that to win 100. And I'm going to use promo code AUSMO to get a first match deposit of up to $100. So I'm going to basically get this and 5 more of these bets free. What do you like about my 4-way prop contest for tonight over on Prize Picks?
Well, I like the correlation, obviously. If you're going to be bullish on 2, you might as well be bullish on the other 2. I think that obviously makes some sense. They're the primary pass catchers here in this spot. So receiving, what was the number on Tannehill for passing yards?
237.5.
Okay, so I think that one I would probably be closer to shading on the under. I think it's pretty close. It's a pretty efficient number from the looks of it. Josh Allen, I think, is going to be out there throwing it around the lot, and it looks like he's playing backyard football. Him and Patrick Mahomes, they do the same kind of insanity, but Josh Allen has more of the rushing upside. Buffalo going up against the 28th ranked defense in PFF grading. I feel pretty good about going to everything Buffalo, a little less so just because Buffalo's defense has been so incredible this season. So Derrick Henry might be a big part of that game script. Just let him try to slow the game down. But Ryan Tannehill, it seems like a low number, but it's pretty efficient to me.
All right. And now for our golf picks for using Prize Pick, check in on Wednesday. I think you and Ben are got a slot of time. I know this week is a little odd because we're in Japan. It could be starting at 6:30 on afternoon on Wednesday. So really weird, but nonetheless, we will have them for you when we put them up. So let's go ahead and talk about some golf. A little bit of Vegas recap here. First and foremost, there are 25 players from last week that are also playing this week. So good to do a little recap. Obviously, Morikawa at his home course ended up coming through. Had a bad round there in the second round. Really could have won the tournament for sure. Speaking of winning the tournament, though, Eric, Rory McIlroy, second time this year that he's done it with his putter and his driver. Basically no irons, lost almost 3 strokes or 4 strokes on the week. He's showing us what it takes for him to win. Is he ever going to put it together and he's going to show us all 4 parts of his game and win by 10? Or do you think he just doesn't have, say, that kind of element to him anymore?
Maybe at places that aren't named Augusta National. It would seem like the guy just doesn't putt well there. Everywhere else, he feels like maybe, and I know it's different in the data, but it is one of those guys that when he's hot, he's hot. And there's no way around it with the putter. He does everything else well. And even losing 3 or 4 shots, it's because of where he hit it to be able to come in from the approach where he should be a little bit better with some of those shots. It wasn't like it was completely offline and he was in a bad spot. I think it was still just from watching that, it was just rhythm golf. He didn't have to do anything super special, just made birdies on the par fives where you're supposed to. Was super solid around the greens. Obviously, the putting, the strokes gained putting, over 6 strokes gained putting for Rory McIlroy is a large, large number. If he could do that anywhere, you're going to want to roster him from now until forever.
So if you did find your way to Rory and Morikawa, which maybe Eric and I did for you a little bit, probably not so much. We were all kind of spread out on the top guys. Not going to lie. We did have, I did say Morikawa would be one of
Sam
my top
Burns.
Guys.
Yep.
Sam Burns was on your side. What we did nail was the low price guys. we both loved Keith Mitchell, but not as much as we liked Aaron Wise and Taylor Gooch. So really nailing that mid-price section. Going to look to do the same thing again this week, Eric, because the field is extremely top-heavy as we transition. I think we can talk about Zozo now because most of the players that I want to talk about from the Vegas swing are actually playing this week. So we can go right into talking about the Zozo, 78 players. But don't get fooled by that. There are, I think, 20 to 25 players from the Japanese Golf Tour, three from the Bridgestone Open that was a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I can start naming names for you, or I can just tell you a couple of names that stood out to me. What would you like to hear?
I would love to hear some names that stood out to you. That All sounds right. like fun for everybody involved.
All right. So first one is Takumi Kanaya. I'm sure you've probably heard of Kanaya before. He's a highly touted prospect, and he's been playing some really good golf. Four top tens in six events over on the Japanese tour, getting into this event, obviously through the Japanese Order of Tour of Merit. That one's pretty easy. And I've heard of him before. I've also heard of Scott Vincent. I'm being very easy right now because there's a couple more that Genichiro Kazuma. I'm thinking of obviously Ichiro Suzuki. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. This guy, he's had five top tens in his last seven events on the Japanese tour. So out of all of these guys I have listed on our run sheet, which is a decent amount, did any stick out to you that you'd actually think about playing this week?
No, not a single one. I don't think we have to. It's like when you go down and you're trying to isolate some of these plays, I mean, this is like, it's a no-cut event. Maybe that's the one positive where maybe somebody makes enough birdies to be viable, but the best players are still showing up there and they're going to make enough birdies. You're not going to need to probably find somebody in the 6,100 range. I didn't even see how anybody finished last week. I mean, was it even remotely close where you needed to roster one of the South Korean guys? Yep. Yeah. So it's very tough.
Dong Hyun Kim, not because there was two C Kims, S Kims. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. In day two, I'm like, oh my, Siwoo, he's starting to pick it up. No, yeah. Wrong. S Kim.
Well, story either way. I just don't see a way that we have to really be going nuts with any of these guys. I mean, I don't want to play Bill Haas. Maybe I'll click on somebody else other than him. If sure. that's kind of what you're going to ask me to do down there at like 6,100, but even a guy like Sung Kang, I just feel so much better playing him at 6,300, more of a known quantity. He's also 4-for-4 and made cuts here so far this season. Obviously the CJ Cup, he didn't have to make a cut, but that's at least boding well for him. I feel like just going to somebody like him, more of a known quantity, is a much better way to go. I don't see any reason that I have to try to get way off the board with a 6K or 6,100 unknown quantity.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just to summarize here, and then we'll move on to talking about some of the course a little bit from what we got from the 2019 showing of this. All right. There are three golfers that got in from the Bridgestone. There are 11 golfers that are now getting in from the Japanese Order Tour of Merit. There are seven sponsor exemptions, four of which go to Japanese players. So now we're up to 18. Plus, I got to throw in a sponsor exemption question to you here. What is Wesley Bryan doing getting a sponsor exemption to Japan? Not that I don't think he's a good player or that he could be good for this event, but is he like, I know he did the YouTube stuff and was really, you know, pretty marketable there. Maybe people love him over there. I don't understand the connection, but it's an interesting one to say the least.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't know. He's a South Carolina guy. He does a great job on the YouTube back in the day. I mean, that's my Wesley Bryan exposure. I know he's buddies with DJ and Bubba Watson. They've had some back and forth barbs on the PGA Tour cast together. But yeah, I don't understand it whatsoever, but good for him. Anytime you're a professional golfer and they say, hey, come play in our no-cut event where you're guaranteed a paycheck.
Or show me where to sign.
You go and you play in the golf tournament. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Blame Wesley Bryan for getting invited to go to Japan and make free money? I'm sure not.
Top 60 in the FedEx Cup last year round out the field here, but they needed to go into additional things because the top 60, they need to go find more. So that's how Ricky Fowler got in. They put an exemption of like winners in the past 2 years. Somehow Ricky gets that one. Jimmy Walker got pulled out of the field, but he was under that one as well. So Bill Haas, also career money exemption, somehow is able to use that and is above everybody else and gets a start in a no-cut event. I mean, you got to love Bill Haas and the way he's going to earn himself a paycheck here this week. So now let's learn about the course a little bit that Tiger Woods won at. But before we do, got a little showdown ranks for the game tonight. we talked a bit about at the top about Prize Picks, and go ahead to our showdown rankings as part of our premium content that is free today. And Eric, they can get 25% off their first week of Osmo Plus Platinum, right? What do they got to do? Give them the promo code.
Oh, come on. I don't even know what it is. I'm pulling up the run sheet while we're going
it's
down.
PGA Strategy Show.
PGA Strategy Show is the promo code. What a great promo code to use. I bet you get 25% off your first month.
You do. You do first week there on Osmo Plus Platinum. So, all right, now let's talk about the course. It's a par 70, shorter, 7,100 yards, but it's a weird setup, right, Eric? I don't know if you saw that on my notes. There's three par fives. So the Tiger Woods winning score of minus 20 kind of does make sense, right?
Yep, absolutely does. It's going to be one of those spots where we kind of know what to expect going in again. It's going to be low scoring. I'm excited about it though. I think it'll be decent enough scoring. What'd you say the number was with Tiger Woods?
Yeah. So Tiger got to 20. I can give you a little bit more than that though. Let's see. Hold on.
Cause I know it was a pretty tightly contested Sunday that I remember waking up at a crazy time to go watch that.
In the middle of the night, I think it was, or for you it was like just getting home from the bars or whatever it's called over there.
Thanks, Chase.
Nightclubs or I don't know. It's beyond me at this stage of my life. Although when I go to Vegas, I did just talk about Dre's last time at the last episode. So I guess I shouldn't go that far and talk. All right, just give me a second. Here it is. I'm pulling it up. And if you want to see where I'm looking at, by the way, check out my data article that's coming out and is free. This week I put in the leaderboard that gives you the DFS points from the event plus birdies and all that. So Tiger put up about 130. Matsuyama is the only guy that put up over 100 that's playing this week. Three others did so as well. So not high scoring as last week, but still pretty high on the average.
Okay. Yeah. I'm excited to see some birdies made again here. These no cut events, man, it's just going to the top of the board. It's just so much security because you're guaranteed four rounds out of some of the best players in the world. And they're going to make a ton of birdies. And it's kind of the same situation we talked about last week. So not going to be a ton that we have to try to decipher through as far as current form. We've seen enough of these guys play consistently. You said Paul Casey's off the board. So there's kind of going to be a nice little gap there in salaries now going from 10.3 to 10K for Fleetwood, who's super excited to be clicking on his name. He's been better of late over in Europe, but that's about it. I'm intrigued by a lot of these top end guys. And how about Ricky Fowler at 9,800?
Before we get into that, let's just final up here. The driving accuracy from the 2019 edition was 55%, but can show that the rough is not all that penal, as greens and regulation were still about two-thirds, 67% there last week. So, all right, let's get into talking. Zozo is a clothing company. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Okay. Do you have any of their stuff?
I do not.
Okay. Well, it looks pretty nice. I'm not going to lie. All the website's in Japanese, so I had a very difficult time trying to navigate it, but still found that they do some formal wear. And, of course, the formal wear, well, we may not wear it all that much, right, Eric? Mm-hmm. We're not going to have too many of these guys in our lineups either because they're just too high priced. We don't want to be wearing all that. We want to be wearing more active wear. However, it's how we're going to talk about the golfers this week. As you know, listen, I got to stay quirky here. I got to keep you on top of your feet somehow. With all the shows we got you going on, I got to make you remember who you're working with. So at the top of the board, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, kind of league of their own, and the full support of Japanese golf here coming over for both events, the Olympics and for this one. They got to be loved over there because it is a long trip to make, especially from Vegas. So what do you make of the two top guys clearing away the best players in the field? I actually thought they'd be priced at 11.8 and 11.6. So I don't mind them to start.
Yeah, I mean, they both played pretty well this season. I don't know what you want me to say. They're both by far, I think, the two guys that you feel the most secure about. I mean, Xander obviously went over and did the gold medal thing. That seems pretty important over in Japan. So there's obviously some good vibes there. Colin Morikawa is outrageous at ball striking, coming off of a second place with a 62 on Sunday. Hard not to like him as well. I mean, just about everything about this spot for these two, it just lines up. It's a weak field behind them. They are the top tier class of this field. Sure, Will Z, we know the kind of ball striking prowess, and Hideki, of course. You know, I never really know what to say about somebody playing in their home country. I'm sure he has more obligations or things to do than a normal week, but it's still Hideki Matsuyama who can get super hot. I just think there's such a gap still between Morikawa and Schauffele. So I'm with you. I think finding ways to get to at least one of them. It's pretty thin to play both and then go to 69.50 per player. But getting to one of those two is going to be a big part of my lineups, I think.
Yeah. I mean, when we had what we said last week with the Mitchell and the Fowler kind of below that 6,500, I do have a couple of guys down there this week that I think could pop off or at least have the ability to score high. That's what we're looking for this week. We're looking for the ability to score pretty well. So beyond that, though, let's talk about a couple of guys up here. Wills Zalatoris kind of gets thrown. I don't know why he's higher priced than Matsuyama at kind of a home event for Matsuyama. Seems silly. Maybe we get low ownership there. So I'll ask you a different way. Is there an ownership you'd like to play Zalatoris at, or do you think he's part of your player pool regardless of the projections?
I mean, we don't have any ownership up yet on Monday, but I got a feeling that the number would have to be around like 15%, I think, in this field. I mean, is that kind of a fair if I'm setting a line on it, 15%?
I think so. I think I'd be very intrigued at 10%. I think I would rather play up or down if it's towards 20%, truthfully.
Right. And that's where I'm at too. I would much rather go up. If you're going to be giving me Shoffley and Morikawa, I mean, there's just not that big of a gap. The top tier is the top tier. And I think they did a decent enough way of pricing that. As you said, 11.8, 11.6, maybe more so would be appropriate. But
I really think so. I had it at 11.8, 11.6, and 10.6 I had Matsuyama above Zalatoris.
All right. Well, definitely going to probably go more on the Morikawa Shoffley route than the Zalatoris route if it's going to be all things other equal. If they get up to like 30%, either one of those two, and Shoffley, we see get just crazy high ownership. People love clicking on his name.
They keep clicking it throughout the week. They just keep clicking it.
Yeah, it's worked out well for them, I think, in the long haul, which is the terrifying part. But we'll see. I think 15%, I'd be starting to be intrigued. 10%, I definitely think being over on this field would be the right way to go.
All right, now we get Paul Casey thrown in there. As we said, he's out of the tournament, withdrew. Priced at 10-1, but not much leaving on the table if you go down to Tommy Fleetwood at 10,000. So I think I really need to ask you the same way. Is 5% Tommy Fleetwood on your radar? 78 points here in 2019 DraftKings. That won't get it done for 10K. Hasn't had a top 10 on the PGA Tour since I don't even know when. There's no way we can pay 10K for this guy, right? Even at 5% ownership?
Maybe. Okay. If you were going to, wouldn't this be kind of the spot to go do it?
I guess. I mean 10K is just you need a top five. When's the last time we had one of those?
In Europe, once again, we're talking, and this is more of like a European-esque field.
This is
something where you can at least make the case to say, you know, in terms of the ranking of this field, he would at least be a guy that I think is in the top tier. I mean, we're going to talk about Ricky Fowler. We're going to talk about Joaquin Niemann. I mean, these price tags look very different than what they did last week. So that should tell you right away that alarm bells should be going off and let you know how different this field is. So for me, Fleetwood, it would be a complete ownership play, complete pivot. If you were to get some concentrated ownership on guys like Niemann, guys like Fowler coming off a good week, you know, there's going to be some gaps. I would assume Alex Noren is going to be a gap where people aren't necessarily going as heavy. So if at 10K for Fleetwood, you get anything single digits, I think it's at least viable to have him in some large field stuff. I would feel very, very uncomfortable clicking his name as part of like my main build.
Yeah. All right. You're warming me up to him a little bit. You're right. The T7 at the Dunhill and the T2 at the Automobiles Italian Open. That's right. That's probably good enough for this field to say if Morikawa and Shoffley are there to collect a paycheck and collect some sponsor paychecks, sure, there'll be decent value, but I guess I could see a Fleetwood coming in and beating them.
Somebody saying that this isn't Lynx Golf for Fairway Jesus. And I get that. Like for me, I definitely get that. But I mean, off the tee, he's been very, very consistent here. And the putter's just not cooperated the last month over here. But if the putter can kind of revert to anything normal, I think he's a good enough ball striker where he can definitely compete. Tee to green, he's been positive in just going down through. He's only had two negative numbers since going back to 2020. So I'm seeing some decent enough ball striking where we can flip the putter one time. It could be interesting.
So what do you do when you see round three? And you and I could probably go stroke by stroke and say, all right, water ball on probably the par five that cost him a couple strokes and probably other couple silly ones. You see round two, lost three strokes on the approach and one stroke putter last week, did Fleetwood. All the other rounds, He gained in almost every single category. So what do you do with a situation like that and a player like Fleetwood? Do you say, man, if he had flipped that round, we're talking about him as 10K as being a good price? But that's not really the case. So how do you analyze that?
Yeah, I think I've talked about this a lot with Ben, I know, and I think we've talked about it once or twice too, where I don't really look at one individual round of golf for the good or the bad and try to spin it to be like, oh, this is why we need to play the person. That's kind of my reasoning for why we shouldn't overreact to one round of golf. I'd rather just look at the sample size for the entire week for four rounds. And
even more kind of like you just suggested, the tee to green game. What is it? Solid. What is seven straight? Yeah, everything looks solid. Yeah,
it looks solid enough. And so, I mean, not to just be buttering you up to play Tommy Fleetwood, because I do think that as long as you're getting any kind of an ownership discount on any one of these players in this top end, I think we can make a case for just about everybody. You can pick and choose your narratives for what it is that you really want to go to. But from a ball striking perspective, the thing that we can quantify, I think Tommy Fleetwood's been above average, even amongst this top grouping of players, for a longer sample size for the last 50 rounds for sure. And so I feel comfortable playing him a little bit more in some of the large field stuff. As I said, at 10K, it feels like an overpay and it would be very uncomfortable to make him a part of any kind of main build that I have. But man, in large field stuff, that's the kind of guy that could definitely win you a tournament if it flips one time with the putter.
And I love Spass though. This isn't Link's Golf Review. It's just a great saying.
That's good.
Sean Norris in the field. I've seen chat bring him up a couple of times. He's a guy that he's a journeyman in the professional game of golf. He plays on the European Tour. He finds his way into these events sometimes through playing on the Australia Asian Tour. He's winning in Japan last week. So yeah, maybe a little intrigued on him. Click his name a couple of times. Him, Scott Vincent, Takumi Kanaya. These are the guys that I'll have a couple of times. Unlike last week, where I don't think I had any of the Korean players because the field was so strong. We didn't need to go to those guys. You may not need to this week, but maybe there's a little bit more of a case to play Kanaya versus a guy like, say, Sepp Straka. You'll say Sepp Straka 10 out of 10. You're probably right, but there's a scenario in which Kanaya, you know, can't outperform. Unlike last week, you know, I'll take Keith Mitchell 100 times out of 100 against Kanaya. Anyways, go ahead.
I have a Sepp Straka problem. I'm just going to admit it. I'm going to throw it out there into the world, because that's what you do when you have a problem. You admit it and you move on. So yeah, Sepp Straka.
You try to get help for it
If there's a Sepp Straka group, it's probably a really dingy part of town where we could go meet up and have donuts and coffee, have a little seance and try to get some good juju going in his life, because I'm really tired of trying to make him a thing, because I know the talent's there. I have no question that the talent's there. You just kind of have to, at a certain point, put the results up, right?
I guess we'll find out if this is the week for it this week.
Yeah, I hate golf. It's fine.
All right, let's talk about Neiman and Fowler, both expected to be probably highly owned. Neiman didn't have a good Sunday. Then you get Alex Noren, Siwoo Kim, Erik van Rooyen. None of them played great last week. You can even throw in Maverick McNealy. However, he scored over 100 DFS points because that's just what he does. So this next range, I do like Neiman and Fowler, but maybe I'm feeling a little bit lost after them. So tell me your top two plays in the 9K range outside of Neiman and Fowler, and maybe it's nobody.
Alex Noren, I also have a sick problem, but I'm probably not going to advise such things for everybody. It's definitely off of the CJ Cup, which everybody went crazy nuts. Tied for 59th was 10 under, so I don't know how to assess that as an actual golf course in the world.
Yeah, it's a great point, though.
It's just dumb. Like, at a certain point, you're getting steamrolled if you don't go out and shoot scuba diving numbers. I mean, the place was immaculate. It looked nice, but not my favorite golf tournament that I've ever watched. Maverick McNealy would probably be number one for me in the entire 9K range. The guy who was historic, fantastic putter. You get four guaranteed rounds out of him here. Has this kind of upside that we're seeing. I mean, strokes gained approach has been really, really bad over his last 50 rounds. I will say that doesn't make me feel great, but literally everything else, fourth off the tee, 23rd around the green in this field, 27th in putting. And the putting is just going to be kind of his thing going forward, where when he putts really well, like he does quite often, he's going to put himself in a spot where he's going to be helping your teams more than he's hurting you. And when it's really off the charts, he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments because he's that talented. Obviously, you don't take a stroke average scoring record from Tiger Woods at Stanford without being pretty good at golf, throwing that out there. And then, so he'd be number one for me. I don't really have a number two. You could probably talk me into Siwoo Kim being number two. Ricky Fowler and Niemann, I said you took off the board, and I think that would probably be my number two and three. But who are you kind of looking at? Because outside of Maverick, I don't feel great about the 9K range.
All right, I got the greatest tout of narrative for Maverick McNealy this week, if you want to hear it.
I'm ready.
Well, 17 hours on private, you know, with servers and hostesses is probably a lot better than on coach.
Was that a he's super rich and comes from money tout?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Okay. I can't imagine his dad's going to let him fly coach over to Tokyo. Or it's Nirishino. Is that right? Anyways.
Yeah. I wondered about. But think about Tiger Woods. I mean, I guess he had a bad back. I always was curious how he couldn't possibly be healthy going across country on these flights.
Flying coach across country in one of his first tournaments back and played six holes and had to withdraw over on the European tour.
Yeah.
He like made a big stink about it that he was going to, you know, fly coach and be fine. And ended up not being fine. Anyways, I don't, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I feel like this is that scenario.
Long time ago, but yeah.
So who is on the plane with Maverick McNealy?
Let's see. Maverick McNealy. Who would it be?
Colin Morikawa. Yep.
I just did the home golf course narrative. Xander Schauffele too. Okay.
They're all California guys, right?
Yep.
Okay. And they're all Vegas guys now. So now it's who's Maverick McNealy friends with that we don't know about. I am touting the plane narrative here this week. Not in reality, but it is something to at least talk about.
I thought we could not get any weirder on this show. And here we are. We found it. I love it.
In reality, I like Johnny Vegas. He's 8,900. So if I probably gave you that, you'd probably go there. But I think what I'm going to tell you is I would rather go from 9,100 or below than anybody in between Fowler and Griot. Now, if Griot doesn't shoot 61 on Sunday, I probably don't have him as high up, to be honest. I'm pulling the momentum thing. I do like Mac Hughes a lot. I think he can light up the board. He's one of the best putters in the world. Always want to have those in no cut. So Hughes, Vegas, I kind of like those guys. If I'm playing a balanced build with either Morikawa or Matsuyama or Xander, I think I can fit one or two of these guys in, but I'm going to try and get two of the studs in again. I think that build last week really worked. It's all going to be about if our low price 7K guys can come, and we'll talk about them in a bit. One of them though, Sebastian Munoz, another terrible week last week. However, 93 points. So when we go down the board a bit, who's your first click that we're going to say below 8K or maybe in that low 8K range?
Going below 8K is very fascinating. I mean, I love Luke List. We know the kind of scoring output that he can have with four rounds. That seems like a lot of fun, in my opinion. I'm happy to be going to his direction. I don't really know on the top end there. Robert Streb is kind of an interesting name coming off of a top 10 last week, but I don't want to read too much into that last golf tournament. And it doesn't look fantastic from him previous to that here. Looks like 27th at the Shriners. Decent enough for him. I think Robert Streb would be another decent enough guy to go to. Sebastian Munoz, I don't really know what to think of. He was like an auto click earlier in the year as value, and that's just kind of turned into nothingness. 7,300, I mean, I guess he probably gets some sort of steam for this golf tournament because, I mean, you look at the rest of the range and he sticks out like a sore thumb, but I don't really love 7K either. I mean, for me, I do like the 8K range quite a bit. I think I'm going to be getting to a lot more of those guys. So 7K range, another interesting one. But if you make me pick one guy to ride with, probably Luke List.
Maybe the strategy that I'm kind of leaning toward is one guy up top, two of these guys in the middle range, or even three, so to speak, because I like Johnny Vegas. CT Pan is quietly playing some really good golf. KH Lee, same exact thing. And for a guy that I said is playing garbage, turned it around last week and actually was a big part of a really solid Sunday showdown lineup for me. It's Carlos Ortiz. Now, he had a little problems with the putter, but that seemed to flip over the weekend. So mid 8K, I mean, I'm not saying anything wrong. Charlie Hoffman, you know, he's kind of there. He's played a lot of golf. I think he's played every single week of this floor, this fall swing. Yeah. Has not looked great the last 2 weeks. So I think I'd be off of him. But Lanto Griffin and Ryan Palmer, I think I'm interested in both of them as well.
I think that's going to be where I'm building a lot out of this 8K group. I think it sets up well. Can we just agree that we think Jonathan Vegas is going to be the highest owner of this grouping?
Yeah, he's going to be the highest owner probably on the slate.
Okay, that's kind of what I'm thinking to people.
Yep.
love clicking on Jonathan Vegas. It is crazy. Charlie Hoffman, I used to love clicking on when he was hitting his irons very close to the golf hole. And now that's, for whatever reason, dissipated into nothingness. But I'm happy to kind of go to this bottom 8K range here as well. Wallace, Kirk, Shank. I mean, everybody kind of sticks out. Ryan Palmer, love that call. Lanto Griffin, really love that call. I think he might be my favorite player in the 8K range period. So, yeah, just fire up this bottom 8K range and move on with your week.
Even Chris Kirk, all rounds in the 60s last week. Only six bogeys the entire week. Looks like he's playing good golf. It is.
Easiest guy to cheer for in the world, too.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly very open about his problems I think is a good model for how to overcome them. Going down the board a little bit, you mentioned Luke List. I'll talk about Garrett Kegel for a second. Here's a guy that when we saw him first come over from the European Tour, took that momentum of like two wins in three events and then won again. Hasn't done anything since, but it's a pretty easy golf course. We know he's a great putter. If he connects with those irons a little bit this week at 7,800, if he's going to be, say, the low-owned guy because people love List and going maybe a little cheaper, 5% Garrett Kegel, I'll have 20% of. I'll say that right now for sure.
I think the talent is just there. I was very lucky and fortunate to be on his W earlier this season where I said he was just an unknown quantity, and I bet him and played a ton of him in DFS. And that worked out really well, and it hasn't been so rosy since then.
No.
But luckily been able to kind of sit a little sidecar as his ownership was climbing. And now we're on the reverse side of that again, where I don't think he's not all of a sudden talented anymore. I don't think that that's the issue. I think sometimes you get a win on the PGA Tour, and now you have security for the next 2 years, and you're probably okay getting your life adjusted to everything coming from South Africa, being here full time. Now you have your life kind of set up for the next year plus. I have pretty high expectations for him going forward. A lefty who can kind of do things differently. Somebody that just has a lot of game, gets up and down out of trash cans. It seems like he's just got a really solid short game around the green. I believe he's fourth. Fourth in this field in strokes gained around the green. And that for me just kind of sticks out as something that I want to be invested in here. So I'm looking forward to having a lot of Higo going forward.
Yeah, I think it's a good price.
I misspoke. I want to correct myself. 40th strokes gained around the green, 17th in putting. So just kind of a guy.
Combine those two short game stats, and he's probably top 15, honestly.
That's what I was getting at, is that he's just a noted guy who just continually gets it done around the greens.
All right, right underneath him, Brandon Grace, not playing good golf. And because there's so many Japanese Tour players playing this week, we likely will get to a lot of your normal PGA Tour players and give you our opinion on them, although we are going to get out of here a little early today. However, I wanted to talk about Brandon Grace. Could not avoid the bogeys last week, 11 of them, one of the most in the field. Did put up enough birdies, though, to score 76 points. So 76 at 7,600 is a 10X. That helps you in cash, Eric. It's not going to help you win a GPP.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you see Justin Thomas last week?
I saw a lot of him. If he removed the ninth hole, he probably would have come in the top five because it was unbelievably
like
28 bad.
Or 29 birdies and an eagle or something stupid like that.
He put up like 120 points and wasn't even in the top 10. It was sickening.
I could not believe that. So, yeah, again, four rounds. If you can make a lot of birdies, 18 birdies for Brandon Grace is what you alluded to with 11 bogeys. Yep. 76 points. Yeah, he's not going to win you a GPP, but that's at least enough production. If he can kind of replicate that, if you could just copy paste those birdies in there, you take your shots and hope that he didn't completely go to 11 bogeys. But somebody who is capable of getting very hot with his putter, we've seen it in a lot of majors even over the course of the last few years. So somebody that around the green just continually gets it done as well. It's just off the tee. He's always been bad off the tee. And if he can ever correct that long-term, he's always going to be somebody who's pretty solid. It's not exactly like he bombs it either, so you can't get away with it there. He's now lost off the tee in three straight. That's going to be his bugaboo forever here, but a second at the Wyndham with only 1.5 strokes gained tee to green, that just tells you what kind of upside he has with the flat stick.
Would you rather play him over Harry Higgs, Henrik Norlander? I mean, both those guys are coming in off of, you know, a T9 for Higgs, a T4 for Norlander two starts ago. So both have played, I would say, their best golf in the last 3 months in the last two starts.
Yeah, I think Higgs is very fascinating. it's been a solid month and a half for him as well. And obviously he had some fun in Vegas with his boys. It sounds like, I love that clip of him donating to the win. I thought that was an enjoyable thing. I think he's sponsored by Aria. Cause it was BetMGM that he sponsored by, but he's just a fantastic follow. If you're not, you're doing it wrong. One of the best golfers to cheer for as well. But from a golf perspective here, him, Brandon Grace, I probably prefer Brandon Grace. I'm not really sure.
Does Norlander change your mind?
No, I love Norlander. I love Norlander. Yeah. I mean, he just always does me right. I played him at the Sanderson. He top five for me there. That could have made some lineups very fascinating there. Just another solid piece. Again, this lower 7K range, it's interesting. Like this mid 7K range, it's interesting, but nobody that I'm super prioritizing. Brandon Grace, it looks like, is projecting out really well for us here early on. I'll kind of see what Alex is talking about with the PGA Pro plays, see kind of what we're all going to be playing, what our exposures are going into the tournament tomorrow. So check out that article whenever that gets posted. I think that that's one of the best tools you can have to see what we're doing in tournaments and just directly from the source, be able to kind of build your lineups around that if you agree. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be looking at getting to some Brandon Grace over him.
19 birdies, 6 bogeys and a double. If your golfer could do that right now, if I could say, hey, look, you're going to golf for 7,300. I'm going to give you 19 birdies, 6 bogeys and a double. Are you signing up for that this week?
Oh, man. Probably, I mean, field size would have to matter. I would say probably no in large field, but yes, in smaller field, yes, absolutely.
So Sebastian Munoz is on your team this week.
God damn it. Don't do that to me. Please, no. No. It's like in the office. No.
Screw. I love that gift, by the way. It's one of the best ones.
That one. Yeah. So I guess if we want to try to make it a thing, we can make it a thing, whatever. Sebastian Munoz, though, man, there were better days, including the Olympics, top five at the Olympics, but
that's the thing. He's got the playing Japan, good on Japanese. Good juju. Spoiler, yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'll have a little bit. Thanks for that lovely segue for me to just bust my hopes and dreams. This guy, I mean, he hasn't done anything for 2 months, but we're willing to find out in a field like this.
And the fact that he scored 90 points, he's at least showing us he can score. And that's what he does. Even when he comes in last, he still puts up birdie streaks. However, I think I would play all 4 of these golfers. You know what? I'll even raise you 5 of these golfers over Munoz this week. You ready? Matt Jones, who played last week, put up also 91 points. Okay, he's cheaper. Mm-hmm. Brendan Steele, who played good in the first 2 things of this fall swing, then missed on the number at the Shriners. Like that. Sepp Straka, your guy. Tom Hoagie, Hollywood Hoagie, put up 98 and 94 in his last 2 events. And then, of course, there's no chance, if you're going to guarantee me 4 rounds, that I'm not going to play a lot of Doug Gim at 7,000. Especially, here's a note. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
This golf course, very weird. The par 4s, you're either longer than 470 or you're shorter than 400. There's none in between those 2 numbers. So that's going to give you a lot of wedges and a lot of mid to long irons. Doug Gim ranks out as some of the best in both of those approach categories this year. So obviously we know we need a good putter. I like all 4 or 5 of those guys over Munoz. Who do you like over Munoz from those?
Coming in with the hot fire, my guy. That's you like good that, stuff. Yeah. I did. Doug Gim out of Texas. Very easy to cheer for as well. Somebody that kind of been, he was the promised child and it just really hasn't panned out for him yet. We saw him at TPC Sawgrass. He had a decent enough first 3 days and fell apart on Sunday, but it started to show up in some of, and I do like his ability to just kind of go low in some of these spots. Top 20 at the John Deere, top 15 at the Charles Schwab, it seems 5th at the Amex. That's kind of more of what we're looking at here. So I'm happy to get to a little bit here. Again, another dude where the putter has always been the issue. And then off the tee has been bad of late, but I expect that to kind of revert back to the mean. He has always been solid off the tee. And what you just kind of labeled there, if you're going to have these different gaps, you know, if you're not going to be hitting 7, 8, 9 iron very often, if you're going to be hitting all wedges and long irons, and that's what he excels at, that's a really good showing here out of 7K. I do expect him, just out of name recognition, feel like he is a little bit of a DFS darling. So I expect him to get some traction. I mean, Tom Hoagie,
7K in this field.
Yeah. Tom Hoagie is interesting to me. I mean, 16 under, 15 under, you don't even want to look at the placements for those, the last 2 rounds, but you know, 20 birdies and 17 birdies down there at 7K. That's kind of interesting. We've been trying to make him a little bit of a thing. Maybe he can just, you know, maybe this golf course can play just a little bit tougher and he can kind of maintain that form. But somebody who hasn't made a double in his last three events here as well. And so just in terms of bogeys, take those eight bogeys off the, I mean, you could say that about a lot of people, you know, limit the bogeys here. But 20 birdies is a nice number in a no-cut event.
So, and two eagles.
And two eagles. So let's go Tom Hoagie.
I like Tom Hoagie. I like Doug Gim. That's why I'm like, oh man, am I doing the same build again? And I'm going to look for two guys up top. It could end up going that way because I do like them. Steele Straka, you've just talked to me about Straka. Are you going to make me play some this week? Where's my are we taking the played good in the Olympics narrative? Are we he got a head start over to Japan? Where are we going with Sepp Straka? Or are we just clicking Hoagie Gim?
Yeah, we're gonna play a little Sepp Straka. I'm fine with going to some Sepp. I'm just gonna always try to make him a thing based on talent alone. It's either missed cut or it's like 15th, 10th. We've got so many missed cuts in the middle of everything.
Nothing in between.
It's horrendous and weird. I know that the upside's there, the Punta Cana top 10 there as well. No cut event. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for him, because I feel like if the wheels come off, it's gonna come off completely and you're gonna have an empty cart. But I'm happy to try to make him a little bit of a thing here as well. So I'm going to be clicking on his name. And then I don't really know anybody else down here that I would want to go nuts with. Sebastian Munoz, man, I can't believe you're actually talking me into playing a little bit of him here. I would much rather, I think, in my mind, go to Brandon Grace, go to Henrik Norlander, and then on the bottom end, Doug Gim. That sounds like a nice way to kind of align ourselves today.
I think so, too. I agree. All right, let's talk about the last grouping of golfers here playing this week. Again, we're going to be out of here maybe a little early. Speaking of being out of here a little early, I saw chat just talking about it. It will be a Wednesday night start. And based off of your research, Eric, it could be as early as 6:30 or 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday night is the lock. Is that not right?
Yep. I was going to say they teed off at 6:30 a.m. It's a 13-hour time difference, I believe, from the East Coast, 16-hour time difference. For me here on the West Coast, I think we're going to be doing I think we just got the word from Chris in Slack. I was trying to find that there, but I believe it's 3 to 4 out here. So I think it's going to be a 6 to 7 p.m. Live, like the closest to live before lock you can get. I think it's going to be almost a true, like half an hour to kind of finish out those lineups, because we've got some basketball stuff to cover with NBA's back, baby.
My gosh, when NBA starts here and you've still got a little bit of MLB going and NFL's in full swing, it's just, it's nutty, but in a good way, because we cover you with all of the content you could want. Today, we've got a short little MLB strategy show coming up at 6 o'clock to talk about the game tonight. That's going to be, it looks like, with Terry and Gundacker. I got that right. Like that. And then the deeper dive show for the NFL showdown tonight. Going to be at 6:30 with Lofi and Svaka, and then you're on Live Before Lock with Maddie G. Is that right?
That is me.
There you go.
Ready to rock.
Be back 7:30 to 8:30, taking us up till tip off. So that is our show schedule for tonight. All right, let's talk about a couple of these last guys. We're going to call them our accessories to the lineup, but there's some good players down here. Some guys that certainly seem maybe a little underpriced in this week's field. Start off with Chesson Hadley right off the bat. Are you buying into his Instagram philosophy of his swing being in form and want to play him this week, or 6,900 is a little too expensive for you?
Whenever I see Chesson Hadley, I always think of his finger snapping thing. I don't.
Yeah.
And every time he makes a putt, he does the finger snapping thing. I can't do it. That was not good TV. I apologize. But Chesson Hadley, it's okay. I'm not enthusiastic to be clicking on him, but there's a lot of names in this upper 6K range I think you have to be taking shots on. I think Troy Merritt stands out a little bit for me, makes a little bit of sense up there at the 6K range. Roger Sloan is somebody who was projecting out really well with Alex as well. And so I'm going to have to do some more looking into him. But you got to try to make some of these guys work. If we want to be as heavy as what I think you and I both want to be on Morikawa, on Xander Schauffele, on, you know, some of these upper dudes on, in the 9K range, Neiman and Fowler, having the ability to take some shots on upper 6K has to be a requirement almost. And so I think Roger Sloan really sticks out. I guess he kind of does a little bit of everything well as I'm looking at his last 50 rounds of data. Yeah. Just pretty solid across the board. So at 6,800, maybe that's a guy we can rely on a little bit.
Yeah, definitely a guy I'm going to click. Sam Ryder, I'm okay with, as we just moved down again the board a little bit. I'm okay with Ryder. put up 92.5 points, 22 birdies and an eagle, tying for 51st at the Sanderson Farms. Jeez Louise. But here's a guy that I don't want to play, Andrew Putnam. All right. He really struggles off the tee. And if you look at his stats from 2019 on this golf course, he missed a lot of fairways and they're tree line. So if you go wild off of the tee here, you're going to be in a lot of trouble getting back in. So I'm not going to play Andrew Putnam this week. I am the champion of Andrew Putnam playing too. Not going to be for me. I'd rather play a Peter, a piping putter, hot Melnati. There we go. There's my first one of the day. And that was a really good one though, wasn't it? Yeah. I knew you'd like that one. Wow. Do you want to play him though here this week?
Not particularly.
Are you sure?
I mean, I can give me the case. Peter Melnati.
Yeah, Peter Piping Putter Hot Melnati.
No.
Okay, how about Brandon Hagee? Let's go down to Brandon.
Okay, Hagee. Yeah, Brandon Hagee. Yeah,
I think you can get into him. Yep.
Yeah, I can get into some bomber extraordinaire Brandon Hagee. Sign me up for that. Why not?
If the long ball comes into play, I think so. Jimmy Walker actually was going to get interested to talk to you about, but he is a withdrawal, so we don't have to worry about that. Then Chan Kim. Here's a guy that popped at the PGA Championship. In fact, I think he might have even been in the Millie Maker winning lineup. I'll have to go back and check that. The guy put up tons of points and is playing great golf. He's ranked 70th in the world or somewhere around there. So he's one of those four guys that I'll click the name of that we don't know that much about, but it's a no cut, so I don't feel like I'm going to get that hurt by it. But then there's a really interesting decision with Wyndham Clark. Here's a guy that I think both you and I can agree on. The talent is there, but the results are not.
Yes.
He came in last place here in 2019, but actually put up a lot of fantasy points. Just goes to show you what can happen with him. So what do you do with a guy like him? Do you just take the Keith Mitchell approach of last week and say, load him up, or do you actually need to see something before you play this guy?
No, I'm going to be loaded up more as I'm just looking in this middle 6K range. Did you know, and this is not to segue back to the upper 6Ks, but Troy Merritt is sixth in DK points amongst this field in the last 50 rounds of golf.
Yeah, he went through that really good stretch. Remember, he almost won the tournament, and then he put up a good amount of points everywhere else. Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. Plus, he played here a couple of years ago and actually played pretty good. He was one of the guys that I kind of had highlighted down here below that could be worth clicking.
Yeah, I'm going to have a tough time getting underneath 6,500 or getting to 6,500 and under. I mean, I had said Sung Kang is a guy that at least I can recognize and understand. Adam Long is a decent enough putter. I mean, a fantastic putter. You could take some shots. Wyndham Clark, God, I mean, you would think it would be there. Just the strokes gain data is decent enough. But I mean, the strokes gain approach is not at the moment. 72nd in this field, strokes gain approach over the last 50. And then 11th around the green. So decent enough around the green number, but doesn't look like anything else is really clicking for him. He's a really tough roster for me. I mean, it would have to be in events where you just know that this is probably the guy who's going to ruin your lineup, but maybe he gives you access and plays well enough where he gives you access to somebody like Morikawa and Schauffele builds. You get the two of them together and you just find any way to do it. And he posts a decent enough finish, but with everybody getting four rounds, I find it tough to believe that I would want to roster him.
Yeah. Tokyo in our chat is telling us that Sean Norris, he's really planting his flag there. I love that. I love when people plant their flag. I'm about it. I actually think I can get into some Sean Norris this week at 6,000. If I really need a flatman price guy, he's going to be it. And because he's a late add to the field, I couldn't imagine he'll be high owned, maybe a little Wes Bryan. But going up, if you're playing the off the tee narrative with Brandon Hagee, shouldn't you just play Tyler McCumber instead, being $500 cheaper?
Oh, man. That's another name that it's just like, what are we trying to accomplish here?
We're trying to get him all four rounds, which as long as he shows up for his tee times,
so yeah, looks like he'll get it. So there you go. Sure. I think that's the best compliment that I can say about him is I guarantee you he will make the cut. That's what I got for you.
He's been known to come up with some injuries from time to time, so don't say that. Would you rather play Kyle Stanley at 6,200?
Yes, I would rather play Kyle Stanley.
But of everybody below 6,500, do we have a consensus that you and I's first click would be? Drum roll, please.
Should I just go ahead?
Sung Kang. I think both you and I talking before the show, he has been absolutely there. Maybe the results aren't showing it, but over 90 points in the last two events. He had the first round lead after Shriners. load me up some Sung Kang here this week. Eric, next week we come back stateside. I believe we're going to Bermuda. Is that correct?
Bahama,
so it's not even stateside.
Come on, pretty mama.
I knew you were going to do that. You did this kind of last time too. But again, couple of things to note. It is going to be a 6:30, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Coast Wednesday night time. Just getting used to that. You're going to take them up 6-7. You and Ben are going to break down any other withdrawals. I have a feeling we're going to get some. Somebody missed their flight, couldn't get there. Remember, it's a quick turnaround. It's a 17-hour flight, so they don't have a lot of time here to miss a flight or anything like that. You guys will break that all down. And then we will see you next week for Port Royal Golf Course Bermuda Championship. Again, this week, there is going to be no shot tracker. Don't get upset. There's going to be no shot tracker next week.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's going to be no shot tracker at the Mayakoba the week after that. So get used to tilting golf in a whole new way if you're used to shot tracker. And if not, good luck to everybody. Eric, we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Sounds good, buddy.